Welcome back, men. I'm Coach Danny, and we're going to be presenting our next episode in our series, Power of the Spirit. Let's go to the coaching board and sort of review what we've had so far. First of all, series Power of the Spirit. Next, our focus, third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. There's going to be six episodes. We've finished the second episode last time when it was Spirit of Truth. Now we're going to be talking about the third episode, Salvation Through the Spirit. Let's find out in Scriptures what it says about salvation. Let's turn to Titus 3:4-7. It says, God our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in the virtue of His own mercy by the washing of the regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on all of us. Now let's bring in our team. Everyone knows Peter Herbrick, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, also our special guest and friend, President and Founder of Renewal Ministries, Dr. Ralph Martin. After we take a short break here, we'll come back in the game plan, and Ralph and Peter will take us along the path to salvation through the Spirit.
When I was at the University of Chicago, I was in Opus Dei, and we had a small group sharing, a bunch of guys. We had a number of converts who came into the church my last 2 years there, and so there was a lot of sharing among men when I was in college, and I looked for that experience in my parish life. And so a number of years ago, a friend of mine and I got the St. Giles Men's Society back together, and we did a whole bunch of things together, and then we took on Crossing the Goal as another way to form ourselves in Christ.
Welcome back to Crossing the Goal. I'm Peter Herbeck, and we're here again in the game plan with my good friend Ralph Martin. And we're going to talk today about salvation through the Spirit is our theme. Ralph, first, what is salvation?
Exactly. Well, the only way we could know what salvation is if God would reveal to us what it is and our need for it. And what God reveals to us is that because of the rebellion of the human race against God, because of our personal rebellion and our personal sin, unless we have that forgiven, we're lost. We'll never be one with God, and when we die, we'll be separated forever in what's called hell. Yeah. So what we're being saved from is from hell. We're being saved from dying in our sins. We're going to be saved from the power of the evil one, and we're going to be given the opportunity to have all that evil that's been done because of sin to be reversed in our life and actually share in the risen life of Jesus Christ. Now, the penalty for sin is death. People don't recognize this, Peter, but the reason why every human being dies is that's the penalty for our rebellion. But if our sin is forgiven, we're still going to have to pay the penalty of physical death. But for a Christian who has put their trust in Jesus, physical death is going to be very, very different. It's going to be a doorway into a glorious new life called the kingdom of God. Yeah. But for somebody who dies in their sins, unrepentant, not with Jesus, physical death is going to be the eternal affirmation of separation from God, which is hell.
Now, it's true to say, from a biblical point of view, church teaching point of view, every human being is in that position, in need of, everyone is in need of salvation.
That's
not just Hitler, not just Stalin, everybody.
That's the default normal situation of every human being who's born. Now, if we can come into baptism, and that's why it's such a gift that we can baptize babies, where we're really brought into the realm of salvation, But so many people have been baptized or confirmed as children, but haven't lived in fidelity to their baptism and confirmation, maybe don't even know what it means, and so they've drifted off into personal sin. So they need to actually repent and return to the Lord, or come to Him really for the first time, in order for salvation to be effective for them.
Yeah, that's good. The title of the talk, or the session today, is Salvation Through the Spirit. I thought Jesus saves us.
Well,
how do you understand it? What's the role of the Holy Spirit?
Well, what theologians say, Peter, is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always working together, but sometimes one kind of is front and center, but the others are there with them. Mm-hmm. So the reason why we say sometimes we're saved by the Holy Spirit is that Jesus says, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit to you. Yeah. And so when somebody is acted on by the Holy Spirit brings them to faith in Jesus, and through baptism, the Holy Spirit brings us into a relationship with Jesus and the Father. So they all work together. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit's kind of out front, as it were, kind of stirring up human hearts, bringing them to Jesus.
Salvation is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in the work of salvation. Yeah. They all have a different role, you might say, in the work of salvation.
Right.
And sometimes salvation is talked about as being brought from death to life.
Right.
And the Spirit is that life principle. It's the life of the Father and the Son shared with us. And we get literally brought to life in baptism, don't we? Because precisely, not because we have an idea, but because Jesus gives us His own Spirit, the Spirit that raised Him from the dead, gets passed on to us.
Right. And it's only because the Word became flesh. And it's only because Jesus was willing to suffer and die for us that all that becomes possible for us. So it's very appropriate to say we're saved through Jesus, but it's also very appropriate to say the Father sends Jesus to us. And it's very appropriate to say the Holy Spirit has enabled us to come to faith in Jesus and participate with Him.
Now, what you've been talking about is very radical. You know, if you think about how the world looks at the question of salvation, pretty much if people, the way the world looks at it is, if there's a heaven, everybody's going there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can't know anyway, so don't worry about it. Just live the way you want to live. And that's how they seem to handle the salvation question. Even Catholics today think that everybody's saved.
Right. So, I would definitely say I think that a growing presumption, many of our fellow Catholics go something like you just said. Broad and wide is the way that leads to heaven, and almost everybody's going that way, but narrow is the path that leads to hell, and hardly anybody's going that way. Now, Pete, what's wrong with this picture?
It's the reverse of what the King revealed to us, what Jesus revealed to us.
Yes, and this is so shocking. How did so many of our fellow Catholics get to a point where they believe as gospel truth something that's just the opposite of the gospel?
Yeah.
You know, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. But how narrow is the gate and how difficult the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Whoa, is that a wake-up call or not? Yeah. I mean, is that like, did you just hear what was said there? Whoa, how do I get off the broad way and get onto the narrow way? Wow, what's going on here?
Well, Ralph, how do you know that Jesus said that? How do you know that the writer didn't just say that? Or say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can people make those kind of arguments today? Is this really what Jesus meant? How do you answer stuff like that?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people don't really understand how the Catholic Church looks at sacred scripture. In Vatican II, in the Dei Verbum, the Constitution on Divine Revelation, section 11, it says, everything asserted by the sacred authors, Matthew, should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, and to teach firmly, faithfully, and without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. We believe that the apostles were reliable witnesses, that they were taught by Jesus for 3 years, that the Holy Spirit was sent to them to help them even understand in greater depth what Jesus taught them. We believe that the apostles are telling the truth, and the reason why we believe the apostles are telling the truth is they were willing to die because they knew this was true.
Yeah.
They were willing to sacrifice their lives. They were willing to go to India and all over the world because their encounter with Christ was so real. Their experience of the Holy Spirit was so real. And the words that the Spirit burned into their mind and heart that they wrote down in the scripture, they knew, they just based their life on it.
And this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is saving us today.
Absolutely.
By actually, this is God's, you know, Spirit-breathed word. It's words of men and words of God together. It's the Holy Spirit
Absolutely.
Helping the apostles and the writers of the letters to communicate what God Himself is revealing to the world. This is not just another religious opinion or philosophy.
Right.
The Catholic Church believes this is God talking to us about our actual condition through His Son and through the apostles and the writers of the letters.
Yeah, and it isn't like the Lord wants people to be on the Broadway heading to destruction. I mean, we know that God wills the whole human race to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But this is the truth we need to come to acknowledge to get off the Broadway and onto the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the next.
How do we get off the Broadway? I mean, that's the fundamental question. If this is what Jesus is saying, He's saying, enter the, then the Luke passage you said, strive to enter the narrow gate.
Right.
Make effort, go for it, it matters.
Yeah, you know? I mean, this isn't just an isolated text. Luke chapter 13, people actually ask Jesus point blank, will only a few people be saved? Now, you might expect a modern theologian to say, oh, kind of chill now, you know, don't take that seriously. Haven't you heard about literary form? You know, that's Jewish hyperbole. Well, that's not what Jesus said. How did He answer that question? Will only a few people be saved? He said, He's not interested in giving numbers. He's not giving numbers. Try to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter it, but will not be able to. And then after the master closes the door, people are going to stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, you taught in our streets. Then He will say to you, I do not know you, depart from me. In another place, Jesus says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. The will of God's the Father is that we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get off the Broadway. Yeah. The narrow way is the beautiful door that Jesus Himself is to life with the Trinity, life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, life with brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's good news.
It is. It's very good news.
It is the news. And making a decision to follow Jesus and to accept Jesus as the Father's word to the world for salvation.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus literally reveals to us, friends, who we are, who God is, what our condition is, how we can get out of the condition we're in, and how we can reach the glorious destiny that our Father in heaven has designed for us.
Amen. Right?
And the devil's at work full time. The world's at work full time.
Putting a
veil over us. Trying to distract us from laying hold of this and taking it to heart. And it's for every single person watching this program today. I don't care what condition your life's in. I don't care how messed up you may feel you are. This word is for you. Everybody stands in need of salvation. You're not alone. But if you open your heart to this word, to Jesus Christ, and you strive to enter through that narrow gate, which is Jesus, following Him, you're going to get where the Father has destined you to get, which is to share life with Him in heaven forever. Great, Rob, it's been great talking to you about this stuff.
Amen.
It's so fun to be in the game plan with you.
Yeah.
Friends, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute for a little time in the red zone.
Well, the beauty of crossing the goal is I think it opens doors for the average guy to entertain the idea that they can really make a connection between how they live their lives and how it relates to their faith. And I think, again, what it does is it opens their minds, really. I think it allows the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of them to say, you know what? This is where you are. This is what you're experiencing. Here's an opportunity for you to really grow closer to Jesus and to the church, by the way.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Red Zone. I'm here with Ralph and Peter. What do you got there, Pete?
Well, this is Ralph's book, The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call. You can get it at renewalministries.net. You can get it at the EWTN bookstore. You can get it on Amazon, wherever. But the reason I'm mentioning it is the stuff we've been talking about today and even last week is put in here in a very accessible way. So if people hearing the show today thought, I'm hearing something, I want to know more about it, this is a good place to go.
Yes.
And one of the things we were going to talk about, we didn't have the time, was, you know, Sister Faustina, who you love, right?
Yeah,
and the Divine Mercy. And everybody everybody loves the Divine Mercy, right? Because we get in touch with the mercy of God toward us, which is important. But one of the things that we hardly ever hear about Sister Faustina is how Jesus how clearly she teaches about hell, the very subject and the consequence of rejecting God that we were talking about today,
yes.
and how Jesus actually took her to hell. Listen to this. This is from her own diary. This is her saying, I, Sister Faustina, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. I mean, Jesus took her there. This is the saint that John Paul, who we all love, like the saint of the millennium in some way, you know, and it's such
yes.
an important way. And her message is a message of mercy, but you don't get mercy until you realize what Jesus showed her, the reality of hell and what sin does in separating us from God and what's at stake, which you
yeah,
like
well,
to-
a lot, a lot of people hear about how merciful God is and they jump into presumption. And the reason why I think the Lord sent an angel to take Sister Faustina to hell is to prevent people from presumption about mercy, because we hear a lot about mercy, but we don't hear a lot about the importance of responding to mercy with humility, with repentance, with faith. And we almost hear nothing about the consequences.
Right.
If we respond to mercy with repentance and faith and conversion, we're saved, heaven.
Right.
But if we refuse the mercy of God, if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't say yes to mercy, we're separating ourselves from God, and hell is the consequence. So I think the Lord gave her that vision of hell and took her on a tour so that people wouldn't become presumptuous and wouldn't just say, oh yeah, God loves me. But there needs to be a response to God's love. There needs to be a yes to mercy.
Right. Yeah. I want to dig into this more, but I want to hear a couple things. One, that you have been appointed also prior, I think, Pope Benedict, to the Pontifical Council of the New Evangelization.
Yeah, that, you know, I can't tell you how many surprises there's been, twists and turns in my life. I left graduate school years ago, and then I got back and got a doctorate, and then I got appointed to the Pontifical Council. And that's the first new Vatican office that's been established in many years by Pope Benedict XVI, just a year or two before he retired. And he said, it's so important that we focus now on evangelization. It's so important we realize that all kinds of baptized Catholics aren't living as disciples of Christ, that we've got to bring this front and center in the church. You know, John Paul II was talking about it for his whole pontificate, but Benedict tried to institutionalize the focus on new evangelization. So then I got appointed as one of the consultants. So, you know, when I'm there, I'll meet with them. I just met with them last week for a couple times, and they'll occasionally ask me to do something. So that's
I can see why, though. You know, Renewal Ministries, people don't realize out here what you already been evangelizing pretty good, you guys, all over the world.
Give
a quick thumbnail of
Renewal. Well, we're a nonprofit organization. We have a branch in the United States, a branch in Canada. Archbishop Carlson from St. Louis is our Episcopal advisor in the United States. Cardinal Collins in Canada is. And since 1980, so 34 years, we've been trying to work for renewal and evangelization. And we do it through the television program, The Choices We Face. Peter's collaborating with you on the Crossing the Goal, so we claim you too.
There you go.
And then we also have two daily radio programs, Sister Ann Shields, Food for the Journey, Peter's program, Fire on the Earth. And we're working in more than 30 different countries. We're assisting bishops and priests and lay people in Eastern Europe and Africa and Asia, yeah. and just trying to help strengthen the church and ignite Catholic lay people and ignite Catholic priests to become evangelists themselves.
I'm
proud in many ways, Danny, we feel like the Holy Spirit, we're talking so much about the Holy Spirit
absolutely.
In these days, right? We believe the Holy Spirit brought us together.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's one of the things the Holy Spirit does is it engages us in mission. When we're awakened to the reality of the things we've been talking about, the Holy
yes.
Spirit helps us know that
yes.
and know Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit stirs us to say, move, get moving.
Get going.
You know, and He's equipped all of us in different ways. That's why you have so much passion. That's where this show came from.
Right.
That's what Renewal Ministries,
absolutely.
That's where that came from. And He's bringing us together, yeah. and He wants to bring the whole church. He wants the whole church to live that way, not just to have a I don't mean to have a TV show, but to find that place
exactly.
that they're called and empowered by the Spirit to engage in the new evangelization.
Because Christianity isn't a game.
Yeah,
it's not an optional extra for people who like spirituality.
Right.
It's a message of life and death. I mean, something's really hanging in the balance. There really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and it really matters if people respond to the message of the gospel
and
or not.
The stakes are high, guys.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
We're not talking some kind of a game here.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, in Colossians it says, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins.
That's it.
You know, we've got to talk about sometimes we're afraid to say hell. I mean, that sort of is a guide for us sometimes. If we don't have that barometer, say, oh, everything's heaven, but there's no hell. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing. I mean, how do we go
from
there?
What's the point? Why did Jesus die on the cross? I mean, what's the point? If we didn't need to have forgiveness, huh? if we didn't need to have mercy, why did all this happen? You know, Catherine Siena says, the cross of Christ isn't a joke.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
And why would the Holy Spirit need to have been sent?
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
all that Jesus died to make yeah. that possible, and yeah. all that we're
if
talking about.
If we weren't
about
in a bad, yeah. bad state.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, they brought that out specifically. I mean, I knew God loved me, but I also knew that I had to stay on a narrow, you was reading about the narrow path. I mean, I knew that I had to do that. Mm-hmm. I ended up going on the wide path for a while, but found it back through the Spirit to move us back.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about everyone saved. I know you get into this, who's saved and everyone's saved. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I say for the last 40 years or so, all the people have heard basically is God loves you, you're okay, I'm okay, maybe Hitler goes to hell, maybe Judas, but, you know, hey, I'm not a serial killer. What do I have to worry about? Well, you know, it isn't just serial killers that are in danger of being separated from God. Like one of the big lies of the devil that was right there in the New Testament, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you.
Right.
So this is an area where there's a lot of deception going on. Probably people who are watching and listening right now have some deception in their head right now. So it's right. really important to hear what God's word says. Don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Hey, what don't you understand about that? You know,
yeah.
you know that's pretty clear. And then he goes on to say, the fornicator, the adulterer, the person who engages in homosexual activity, the thief, the robber, the miser, the drunkard, the sorcerer, the idolater, will not enter the kingdom of God. So, hey, you don't have to be a serial killer to exclude yourself from
right.
the love of God. I mean, if you're committing serious sin and you don't repent and ask God for mercy before you die, you're in big, big trouble. So that's why we're doing the program, Danny,
absolutely.
Right?
And that's, no, absolutely. And in truth, that's where we were at different stages of our life. The very description, the long list of things. It's like, as soon as you read them, I thought, that sounds like Danny.
Right,
no,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Right,
no. But all of us were there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And we came to a point by God's mercy where we had to say, you know what, that's the truth about me, actually. I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop pretending. I'm going to stop, you know, distracting myself from the truth. And I'm just going to accept the fact that what Scripture says so clearly, Jesus knows the heart of man. Mm-hmm. Jesus knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows the heart of everybody who's watching this program. And he's coming to reveal our heart, to save us, because he loves us.
Yeah.
And this hard stuff. We remember we did some shows on the hard sayings of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, claims of Jesus. This
yeah.
hard stuff is love. It's truth
is.
Coming to
yeah.
us to open our hearts so that we change, because he doesn't want us to be separated.
Right.
He doesn't want us to die in our immorality and our sin.
And he doesn't want us to keep messing up our life and other people's lives.
Yeah.
All these sins mess up other people's lives.
Absolutely.
All these sins are self-centered actions on our part that are hurting other people.
Yeah.
He wants us to stop hurting other people. He wants to stop destroying ourselves. And he wants us to begin to live real life as sons and daughters of God.
I think he wants us to, you know, we talk about the new evangelization that got there. I think a lot of people, they don't go out there because they don't know what to evangelize. One, we have to make a decision somewhere along the line, and you mentioned up there. We hear it, but we've got to make a move.
Yeah.
Okay, am I going to change my life?
Right.
Are you ready for conversion? Then transformation takes
right.
place.
Right.
And all this stuff has to, we got to have it in our heart, let the Spirit move us, and then we can go out and share it with others. Because
yeah.
new salvation, Ralph, it's about the salvation of souls. That's
yeah.
what we're talking about. Right?
Yeah, it is nothing more important. This is the bottom line. There's only one thing necessary. If we die in friendship with Jesus Christ, our whole life is an incredible success, no matter what else has happened. If we die with hard hearts, unrepentant, clinging to our sins, our life is a tragic failure, no matter how many toys we die with.
Let's face it. You wouldn't have do 30 some years in renewal ministries, and we wouldn't be doing our things
yeah.
if it wasn't about the salvation of souls.
You're darn right.
I wouldn't be here.
You're darn right.
I'd be with my grandkids or something over there.
You're darn
right. So we have to wake up and say, hey, church, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, this is a time, like you said, the devil's prowling around like a roaring lion, yeah. devouring.
Yeah.
You know, he's after souls.
Yeah.
He's after our family. He's trying yeah. to destroy us.
I bet there's some souls right now that are watching this that know that they're in the hands of the enemy.
Why don't you and say a quick prayer with that?
Yeah.
Would you
yeah,
do that?
Yeah. Jesus, I pray with all my heart for the beloved, dear brothers and sisters who are watching this program. Lord, if anybody has been captured by the evil one, if anyone has believed his lies, if anyone has been deceived, Lord, deliver them from that deception and let the light of your word and the light of your love pierce the darkness and fear in their hearts and give them hope and give them the grace to say yes. Give them the grace to kneel down and say, Lord, forgive me. Amen.
One last action item before we leave.
Kneel down right now. Kneel down right now. I don't care if you're with other people. Kneel down right now and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
There you go.
Amen.
Kneel down, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us. Now, our next episode will be the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Be with us, guys.